This episode was updated on Wednesday, August 25th, with new context and resource references. You're listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press. On this edition, we'll hear from someone working hard to get people fleeing Afghanistan out of the country and resettled, including some of his own family members.
Every single day we are receiving video message, phone calls, and voice messages from the ground. And we, day by day, are receiving news from Afghanistan, from our families, from our friends. Going to be more worse day by day. And I think it will be a world tragedy and crisis. And in a few weeks, if we still did not do something and something urgently.
I'm Laura Wenis, and this is Civic. The U.S. is aiming to completely withdraw from Afghanistan on August 31st, according to President Biden. After the Taliban took over the government, mass evacuations began. As of Wednesday, more than 82,000 people had been airlifted out since August 14th, but thousands more are waiting at the airport. The Bay Area's Afghan communities have been organizing around evacuations, but they'd also been raising the alarm about the deteriorating situation in Afghanistan long before the Taliban takeover. For the past month, they've had protests to let people know that the situation is getting worse. One of the people doing this work is Farhad Yousafzai. He's an insurance agent by trade in Sacramento, but before he started that work, he assisted U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He came to the U.S. in 2014 on a special immigrant visa known as an SIV. After his arrival, he started volunteering with refugee organizations, and he's currently on the board of the Burma Refugee Family Network, helping resettle newcomers from several different countries. He's been flooded with calls from people looking to leave the country, and all the while, he's looking for ways to help his remaining family members leave Afghanistan, too. We talked about his work and how people in the Bay Area can help. And before we hear from Farhad, a note about where to find out about groups that are mobilizing to help support new arrivals. The Burma Refugee Family Network pointed us to something called the Refugee Asylee and Immigrant Forum. San Francisco, Santa Clara County, and the East Bay all have these forums, which are coalitions of organizations working with refugees. The best way to find the Santa Clara and East Bay forums is on Facebook by searching Refugee Asylee and Immigrant Forum. San Francisco's has a website, which includes a list of organizations as well as volunteer opportunities. That's at sf-cairs.org. I'll also put these links in the episode notes for this show. All right, now let's hear from Farhad. You have been in the U.S. since 2014, and you've been working with and supporting refugees and immigrants from Afghanistan and other countries basically since then. When did things start to really take a turn for the worse in Afghanistan? What were you hearing from people in the country?
Mostly when American invaded Afghanistan after 9/11, things were people were very much optimistic. Things were looks better. Day by day, and we, all the Afghans, were hoping that this country will rebuild, reconstruct, and we will have a peaceful Afghanistan. And in the meantime, after a few years, when they shift and start fighting our take on Iraq, it took a biggest attention of the American from Afghanistan and got busy on in Iraq. And it that was the turning point that the insurgents, the Taliban or other terrorist groups got back in the in power or got back regrouping. And since that, day by day, the situation got worse and worse. I think the biggest mistake that all the international community did, and we paid a huge price for that right now, we did not target the source of the terrorist organization. We just pushed them from Afghanistan. And there were other sites other neighbor countries like Pakistan, where they have a safest haven, training centers, military centers, hospitals, their homes. They had a very well settled life over there. They were happy over there. They regroup over there. They trained new generation. It was 20 years war, and they trained more and more, and they got financially, logistically, economically supported by Pakistan military. And that was the main reason they came back and came back stronger. In less than a month, or I can say in a couple of weeks, they captured all Afghanistan in front of or in presence of the world. There was NATO forces, there were U.S. forces, there were British forces, and within a few weeks, all are collapsed. It means it's not the collapse or the failure of Afghans, it's the failure of every international community, all world leaders. And that was the main reason that they never, ever target the source of the terrorist organization.
This happened so quickly, like you said, as you were describing. And I just wonder what you were hearing from people in Afghanistan as that was unfolding. Because, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about how for the last month, people in the Bay Area and, you know, in the U.S. have been trying to raise awareness about what has been happening in Afghanistan. So what were you hearing as the Taliban was advancing from people in Afghanistan?
Yeah, from past more than a month, when Doha Agreement signed with the Taliban, that legitimized the Taliban. They completely ignored the Afghan government in Doha Agreement, especially the United States. That's the biggest mistake. You cannot ignore your allies, especially who were in power. When they ignore Afghan government, that was the moral defeat for the Afghan government. And after that, when they had an agreement with the Taliban in Doha to do not attack any single American, they started targeting Afghan forces. They started capturing the districts, and on that day, the situation got changed day by day. And from that day, the people were new. Even if you go back to the Western media and the politics, they were talking. Everybody was talking that the Afghan government would collapse within 6 months after the U.S. withdrawals. Only 6 months changed to 6 days. That they did not expect. And I think that was expected, because they were talking about and they create the grounds for them. When the American brought pressure on the Afghan government to release 5,000 Taliban from prison, they all joined back the battlefield. They all are now they were in war. And that was another moral defeat for the Afghan government. And Afghan people, they realized that this day is going to happen, and this day will come. Therefore, we as a community back in home and here, we understand, and we worked, we had protests all over the U.S. We had protests in front of the White House. We had protests in San Francisco, Bay Area, in front of the City Hall. We had a protest in Sacramento, in front of the Capitol Hill. Unfortunately, nobody hear us. Nobody hear our concerns. And that's the reason. And today is still not late. Today, the war or the change which came to in Afghanistan, I'm worried for another 9/11, for another worst scenario for all the world, because this defeat gave a moral advantage or ideological advantage to the terrorist group that their idea, their holy war, was in right way and right path, and if we can defeat all the international community in Afghanistan, we can beat them all over the world. And I think that would not only damage the reputation of the American on international level, but that will target more American or their alliance in future in Afghanistan or that region.
Can you talk about how you are hearing from people who are still in Afghanistan right now? Is this by phone, by social media, by email, video? I mean, how are you connecting with people? How are they reaching you? And give us a sense of what they're saying.
Every day, every single minute, we are connected. We are connected via phone calls, WhatsApp, Facebook, and all the social media. This morning, I received a call that yesterday, the SIV, special immigrant visa holder, were tried to enter the airport with the family. They couldn't succeed, and they were on the way return back home. The two SIV holders are disappeared. There are witnesses that the Taliban captured them, and the family are calling me. Their brother here in Sacramento, he called me that my two brothers are disappeared. Can you help? Can you call someone? We tried to call different people to find out where their brothers are. This morning we had another news that the Taliban are issue a death sentence to the brother of those who were been translator or been worked for the U.S. government. Every single day we are receiving video message, phone calls, and voice messages from the ground. There are a lot of news that international mainstream media didn't know about. And we, day by day, are receiving those news from Afghanistan, from our families, from our friends. Things looks more worse, and it's going to be more worse day by day. And I think it will be a world tragedy and crisis. And in a few weeks, if we still did not do something and something urgently and did not stop Taliban for targeting Americans or international communities members or their alliance.
Yeah. You obviously made it to the United States, but this was back in 2014. And I imagine most of the people who are contacting you now are trying to figure out ways to get out of the country. The U.S. military has the capacity to evacuate something like multiple thousand, I think up to like 9,000 people a day. Around 28,000 people had been removed or evacuated out of Afghanistan as of Sunday by the U.S. military. What does it actually take to get out of the country right now if you are in Afghanistan?
Actually, the people are still way too much in a dark situation. I'm here in the U.S. and still did not get really what source are the most proper way to help my family. Wow. There are one line of command that for those who are the U.S. citizens or green card holder, they try to evacuate them and also evacuate their families. But there are people like me and the thousands of others, Afghan American, who are here in U.S., but their immediate family members, like brothers and sisters or parents, are back in Afghanistan. If I did not get the forums that they were talking, I filled that forum at the same day for my sister. And my sister had all the legal documents and everything, and she did not evacuate yet. It means that process still not work better. There are people that they have visas. My other two family members, my first cousins, they got a special immigrants visa. They were in the airport with the small kids of 1 or 2 years old kids for 2 nights. There were no enough food, water, or blankets, and they escaped back to home. They says, we may die, or our children may die. And we saw the news that a lot of older people, a lot of women and children already been died due to the crowd. That's hard to reach the airport, to enter mm-hmm. the airport. And some people enter to the airport, they have proof that they work for international community, they work for the U.S. government agencies, but there were lack of some other papers were like recommendations or HR verification, but they had I have a proof of that person too, that I knew that his life was in extreme dangerous. He had all the contracts, all the paperwork that he had it on hand, and he was returned from the from inside of the flight. He crossed all the borders. He entered, even reached to the destination to reach the flight and escape, and they returned it back and took them all the way back to cross all those 100,000 people that we were waiting for outside. Oh, and when he was telling me the story, he was crying and he was telling that I was near to die in the crowd. And that's they pushed him back. Instead of to help him and accept his documentations, all the proofs of the contracts and verification, he had the passport, he had the documents that he worked for the U.S. government agencies, but he was still not evacuated.
Wow. In other words, it is extremely difficult, bordering on impossible, to get out right now.
Absolutely. It's extremely. I have another friend, very close family friends. He is a green card holder, and he came 3 times to the airport, and one time he become like sick because of the tearing gas that they use, and his kids become sick, his wife become sick, and they return back to the house. And they till yesterday when I was talking with him, he says, I'm still in Kabul. I cannot cross this huge line of the crowd to enter the airport. I tried, and they used the tear gas on me, and we were hospitalized for a day or two to get recovered, and I don't want to take that risk because I have a small children.
Right. I'm speaking with Farhad Yousafzai, who's been helping resettle refugees for years and who's now scrambling to support people fleeing Afghanistan. Let us look ahead a little bit. The Burma Refugee Family Network, which you work with, their website has an announcement that it's anticipated that refugees from Afghanistan will arrive in the East Bay in 2021. It notes that families need safe homes, groceries, transportation, health and wellness support, and more. Can you expand on that and say more about what practical needs families and individuals will have if and when they get here? What did you find yourself needing, you know, immediately when you first got here?
Actually, there's a lot of things that they need. Previously, those who were coming, they were coming under the IOM, resettlement agencies, will plant a trip. They were in contact with different organizations or with different friends in the U.S. Right now, what happened, half of the family left in Afghanistan, half of the family moved. Even we have kids, they moved, their parents left over. And now we are in the situation. I received a call last night from a couple that they were in San Francisco in one of the hotel. And they says, we don't have money to extend the hotel. We don't have anything. We don't know anyone. Where to go? And I told him, just stay this night because it's Sunday evening. I will, and first thing in the morning, to provide you the help. I talk with my with my management team in the BRFN, and they start helping and finding a way how to help them. The people are coming with a lot of requirements because the first thing, their shelter. They need housing, something, and also household items. They are in an extreme shock. they immediately need their healthcare and they need a lot of things, because from past 2 weeks they didn't sleep properly. They were in an extreme difficult situation. Even there were no proper restroom or showers, or they didn't change their clothes for 10 days. And they bring nothing with them. There is no enough proper documentation. They didn't allow any briefcase or anything with them because of there is no space in the aircraft. That's why I think from zero, you name it, and they need it.
Yes. So just to be clear, there are people coming from Afghanistan now, and they are in the Bay Area.
They are in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, in Sacramento, Los Angeles, all over. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere.
So can you talk a little bit about what people can do to help? Because I think a lot of people see this horrible situation unfolding and they want to help, but it feels huge and it feels so far away. But as you're saying, these people are here now. So it can be hard for people to figure out what would actually make a difference. What do you recommend? What do you say to locals who want to do something?
I think the locals should engage with the community organizations, resettlement agencies, agencies that they are working, and they may need more volunteers to help them out. The people need to be picked up from the airport to be in the housing, or to provide them the essential services, food, shelters, blankets, clothes, all these things. I think the better way is to Google, to find nearby human or resettlement agencies or refugees agencies. In every city in Sacramento, in Alameda County, we have around more than 20 agencies that working. They will find out the agencies that they are busy in working with the refugees. I think that would be the quickest and way and proper way to get connected with them. For me, I'm requesting from individuals, those who are willing to help, to be contacted with them and also provide their numbers and what type of help they can do. When we need, we can contact them back. And whoever find or someone contact them from Afghanistan, or please, those who worked for in Afghanistan, my kind request for them to be active in social media, find out or reach out to their Afghan subordinate staff. They really need your help. Your one letter will save their life. And there are people calling us every day to find out their supervisors, to find out the organization they work for, because everyone displaced. It's hard. I have people who has every documents, all the evidence they worked, but they cannot find their supervisor right now. And that's
so you're talking about people who are, so Afghans who were working with organizations or the military from other countries cannot figure out who their supervisor was at the time, because they need that to document and prove that they worked with another organization, with a foreign agency, in order to get their visas. Do I have
Absolutely,
that correct?
Yeah, those who left behind in Afghanistan, they are need their supervisors. It doesn't matter which organization they work, doesn't matter for which country they work, but for whoever, especially for the American soldiers, for American who work in Afghanistan in any capacity, they had an Afghan subordinate staff, and that Afghan subordinate staff cannot get visas and cannot be, nobody can help them without a recommendation or human HR letter. And that's the main documents, and they are asking or seeking our help to find them, the related departments or their supervisor here in the United States. My request from those who were working in Afghanistan, American or who are American citizens who work in Afghanistan, please try to reach your subordinates, find their names, or at least issue a Facebook misstatement or Twitter, anything that, hey, if anyone or those who work with me, I'm available, please reach me out to help you out.
Yes. You mentioned that people should reach out to you directly with how they can help or with these statements to talk about who they supervised in Afghanistan. How do people get in touch with you? What is the best way?
With me, the people are reaching my Facebook, Farhad Habib Yousafzai, my Facebook account. There is Afghans living in San Francisco Bay Area, a page that we get. And there are a lot of others, Afghans in California, Afghans in Sacramento. There are a lot of Facebook pages. And I think the Facebook is the best way right now because most Afghans in Afghanistan has access to that. And we most using Facebook instead of Instagram or Twitter. That's not that much famous in Afghanistan. And mostly the people reach out, find out us like through Facebook. I believe you find me as well from Afghanistan living in San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and when I came to in 2014, I searched a lot how to connect with my community. I didn't find at that time. And then I created that group, Afghans living in San Francisco Bay Area. I thought better someone will, if need, they can reach me or I can reach others. And through that small Facebook page, believe me, it helped a lot of Afghans. We connected with each other. There still the numbers are small, but from that group, there are, if 2,000, each 2,000 people has 5,000 more friends. And they easily... a message can circulate in a few days.
Yes. If we have any listeners who are trying to find out more about visa and permission options and how that all works, are there resources or references that you might recommend for how to find out more about that?
The visas information, mostly they can find it out from Kabul Embassy, U.S. Embassy in Kabul, USCIS, NVC Center. There are more, and also from the immigration departments, there are a lot of resources right now, too much resource, but we are still not well coordinated. The problem mm-hmm. is I used like 5-7 links, and I thought the other links would be different, and it bring me back to the same. I for example, I asked one congressman for help. He sent me the same link that I already had it.
No.
For example, I evacuated my family by myself. 11 people of my family, my two brothers, my mom, my their wives and children. 11 people, I paid for their tickets, visas and everything. I settled them in Turkey. From past 10, 15 days, they had only 1 month visa. And from 10, 15 days, we don't have any other options. There's hard to find a rental apartment in Turkey or to find them the housing. I send an email to congressman. I send an email to U.S. Embassy, and they just gave us the same information. The refugee UNHCR is doing this, and the process of all other visas is this. I said no, we need a special attention. Those are not the people who came voluntarily, or they are the people who just escaped because of the threat that they have, and they have the documents that they work for the US government. The US embassies are all over the world, or especially in the neighbors countries like Turkey, UAE, Tajikistan, or other. I think that's the time for them to do something better for those who just escaped by themselves to other countries.
We are running out of time here, but I want to give you a chance to say anything that I didn't specifically ask you about to Bay Area listeners, who anything that they might not know that you want them to, or any message you want to send out to our listeners.
My kind request with them is please help with Afghan immigrants all over in Bay Area or whoever listen us right now. These people are in real trouble, in real crisis, and their life is in danger. Whatever step you take, you may save the life of someone.
Very good. Well, Farhad, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate this.
Thank you. Especially in these times. Thank you very much.
That was Farhad Yousafzai, a board member of Burma Refugee Family Network, who's been helping resettle Afghan refugees. I'm Laura Wenis, and you've been listening to Civic. And before I let you go tonight, I want to give you a heads up about a few things. Civic is turning 2 years old. We're going to celebrate by spending some time strategizing and planning for the future. It also means that your feedback could not come at a more impactful time. So if you have a couple minutes to tell us what you think about the show, we have a survey for you. Find it at surveymonkey.com/r/civiclisteners. I'll also post the link in the episode notes. So let us know what you think. And thanks so much for listening.